If ever you visit the city of Rome, among other things, you will probably want to visit the church called the Church of St. Peter and St. Paul. It is good that there is at least one church that has the name of both of these great apostles, who are mentioned together in at least four accounts in the New Testament. In Galatians 1:18, Paul tells us that after he was converted and had gone to Arabia for 3 years, he went to Jerusalem to visit Peter for 2 weeks. Then he tells us in the second chapter that on one occasion he and Barnabas and Titus went to Jerusalem, and there it was discovered that their gospel, that is, of Peter and of Paul, was identical, though Peter preached to the Jews and Paul to the Gentiles. Then, of course, you remember in Acts 15, the church came together there in what has been called the First Synod to settle this problem about whether a person had to be circumcised in order to become a Christian. But in the fourth account, which was just read a moment ago in Galatians 2, verses 11 to 14, things were not so friendly between the two great apostles. It is an account of conflict. Peter there says that on one occasion, Paul says that on one occasion, Peter came to Antioch, and since he knew that all men were declared clean, he knew that from the vision recorded in Acts 10, that he should declare no Gentile clean. The Gentile did not have to become a Jew before he became a Christian. The gospel required no work of man. It is a pure gift of God and his grace and mercy. But on one occasion when some Gentile Christians, Jewish Christians, came from Jerusalem to visit the congregation in Antioch, which was made up of Gentiles and Jews, Peter, who had become accustomed to exercising his Christian liberty by eating with the Gentiles and had no scruples about them, when these Jewish Christians came from Jerusalem, Peter withdrew and left the definite impression with the Gentile Christians in Antioch that they would have to become Jews before they became Christians, or at least that the Jews were better than were the Gentiles, and thus he was giving great offense to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are told, Paul tells us, that he forthrightly and immediately stood up and rebuked Peter in the presence of all, despite their bond of friendship. As Paul tells us elsewhere, I think it's in 1 Timothy 5, those who sin publicly rebuke openly before all. You don't have to exercise Matthew 18 first when somebody sins publicly and go to see him privately. No. If someone sins publicly, you rebuke him publicly. Now, Paul said to Peter, how come you, who've been living as a Gentile, now compel these Gentiles to live as Jews? Paul was preaching law in defense of the gospel. Bengel says, the great German Lutheran scholar Bengel says, that this pericope can be summarized in Paulus contra mundum, Paul against the whole world. For here he had the courage to withstand the great apostle Peter, who was a man of great reputation, as he himself admitted. Now, there are just two thoughts in this text which are very important for anyone who is going into the holy ministry. You have to have the courage to call a spade a spade. Even though it be unpopular when sin is committed, like John the Baptist, who had the effrontery to tell Herod that he was living in sin, or Paul, who had the courage to stand up against Peter and saying, you are destroying the practice of the gospel, and that's probably what truth of the gospel means in this text. You can vitiate truth by wrong practice. You've got to be like that, don't you? You've got to be able to point out sin. When it's sin, it is sin. We are very much aware of the immorality of the American society these days, and the death of Rock Hudson yesterday has made us very much aware of the judgment of God upon the immorality of America because of the sickness which is called AIDS. Now, some people are rising up in wrath and saying we shouldn't call that sin. We shouldn't call that a judgment of God. We shouldn't call it a punishment of God. But that it is. And you've got to have the courage to say it. Because if you don't, out goes the sixth commandment, doesn't it? On the other hand, the very fact that this great apostle Peter could fall into sin, as Luther says, is a great comfort to us. It was a great comfort to Luther that that great man of God in the Old Testament, David, could fall so deeply. It was a great comfort to Luther that Saul could fall so deeply. It was a great comfort to Luther that that Peter could fall so deeply. And on this occasion, he could have shot down the Pope in Rome, but he didn't. He just says it's a great comfort to us sinners that Peter fell. He says nothing about the papacy. He could have. Now, you've got to see yourself as a fragile sinner, as was Peter. On the other hand, you've got to have the courage of a Paul, don't you? There will come times in your ministry when, for the sake of convenience, someone will twist the gospel just a little bit so that it is gutted in its entirety. You simply cannot take anything away from the gospel and expect it to remain. It's like taking 2 inches from the end of a bridge. If you have a bridge that has a span of a quarter mile and take away 2 inches, what will happen? Of course, the whole bridge will be destroyed, and that's the way the gospel is. You cannot ever mix the works or worthiness of man in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you have to preach it forthrightly as a free gift of God with no conditions whatever, because man is so desperately in need of it, both for body and soul. There's nothing secular in the life of the Christian. The gospel is the only channel for all our blessings of body and soul. All the petitions in the Lord's Prayer can be answered only by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even the fourth petition, in which we ask for a daily bread. Unless God blesses with the gospel, it is nothing. And so, to make a long story short, though you are as fragile as Peter, be as courageous as Paul. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.